want to preach this morning on the ideal father, what it means to be a good father. And I'm choosing as my text verses 1 and 2 of the 10th chapter of Acts. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. It's the story of how Cornelius was preached to, the first Gentile that was preached to and the gospel was shared with him. And this, of course, was through the ministry of Peter. Cornelius was a godly man. He was a Roman officer with heavy responsibilities, but he was devout. He didn't know the Lord, but he worshiped God. And the Lord determined that he was the first Gentile that Peter would preach the gospel to. And so the Lord appeared through an angel to Cornelius and told him to send somebody to Joppa where Peter was and bring him back to Caesarea to hear the gospel. In the same time, the Lord spoke to Peter, told him to anticipate a visit of a servant who would take him to Joppa. So we have the story unfolding. Peter preached the gospel to Cornelius and his family and those who gathered. The Holy Spirit was powerfully present, and they came to Christ. And that was the beginning of the great ministry of the Christian church sharing the gospel with the Gentiles. I'll read the first 8 verses, but my text is taken from verses 1 and 2. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have gone up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. May God add his own blessing to this reading, this holy, inspired, and unerring word. There's a wonderful story told about Mrs. Martin Niemöller, who was the wife of the famous and courageous pastor who was a leader in the German resistance during the Second World War. It's a story in which the supreme compliment was paid to her husband as a fine man of God. One day, 3 of her eldest sons came to her and asked her to sit and talk with them. They obviously had something very important on their minds. And when she smilingly inquired as to the meaning of the delegation, the oldest son said, "Mother, the 3 of us have decided to go into the ministry because we admire Father so much." Now, there was obviously a great deal more involved in their sense of call to the ministry than simply their admiration for their father. But obviously, the example of Martin Niemöller as a father to those boys had a tremendously positive and powerful influence on their lives. What a tribute these 3 boys paid their father. And it's about fathers that I want to speak this morning. In the last 25 years, a number of movements have emerged to try and encourage men to take their rightful place in society, in marriage, in parenting, and in the home. Focus on the family has raised a great awareness of the important role that a Christian father needs to play in the home. One of the most notable of these movements has been Promise Keepers, a men's movement that emphasizes the need for men to identify with the biblical role model as a husband and a father. Well, what is the ideal role of a man? That's what I want to speak about this morning. How should men behave? What is their role? What are the characteristics that should emphasize, that they should emphasize, especially in the home? The answer to those questions can be both daunting and confusing. People today are bombarded by examples that are less than positive. On television, in the movies, manly qualities are too often associated with violence, sexual exploitation. The macho man is characterized as being tough, unyielding, aggressive, intimidating, always in charge. Redefining what true manliness looks like is a much-needed corrective for our culture. Well, what is a worthy image for a father to follow? The Bible provides us with some clear principles, and probably one of the finest definitions is that of Cornelius. I've already introduced him into our story this morning. A Roman officer who was a godly man, who had the gospel preached to him as a Gentile by Peter. And it was a great barrier to be broken by Peter, who assumed initially that the gospel was only for the Jewish people, but God meant it for all. And he chose Cornelius as the proper one to open the door of the ministry of the gospel to the Gentile people. The Holy Spirit moved, and Cornelius and his family responded and accepted Christ as their personal Savior. When you examine the life of Cornelius, it's not surprising at all that God chose him as the first Gentile to have the gospel preached to. Cornelius exhibits five qualities that every man should seek to emulate as a husband and as a father. And those qualities are taken right out of the text, especially verse 2 of Acts chapter 10. I want you to note first that Cornelius was a man's man, and he was religious. The text says he was devout and God-fearing. He was a rugged Roman officer. There were 600 men under his immediate command. He was a person looked up to and respected, but he was also devout and God-fearing. It is perfectly obvious from the New Testament that this soldier's religious convictions, although very personal, were by no means private. Others knew about his religious convictions. He had earned a reputation not only as a man's man, but also as a man who was devout and God-fearing. Manliness and spirituality are not incompatible. And yet I have heard it said on more than one occasion by someone who simply doesn't understand that somehow spirituality is sort of a feminine thing. Too often, that is the assumption that people have, but the exact opposite is true. It takes a real man of courage to live a really Christian life, following Christ whatever the cost, forgiving those who have wronged you, loving your enemies, turning the other cheek, going the second mile. Godly manliness is best described by the qualities portrayed in the Beatitudes. I want to briefly remind you of them in a sort of a paraphrase. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who recognize the need of God's grace. Blessed are those who mourn, that is, who are genuinely concerned about their shortcomings. Blessed are the meek, those who are willing to submit to the Lordship of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who exhibit a godly code of ethics. Blessed are the merciful, whose first impulse is not revenge, but compassion and reconciliation. Blessed are the pure in heart, whose motives are above reproach. Blessed are the peacemakers, people who don't gang up on their opponents but seek to mend fences. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, people, that is, who refuse to take the easy way or go with the crowd. These are not the qualities or virtues of a milquetoast weakling. They are the virtues of a strong man. Such virtues require intestinal fortitude and indeed require the grace of God. Cornelius had those kind of qualities. He was a man's man, but he was devout and God-fearing. For each of us men, fathers, our masculinity and our spirituality should be closely linked, and there should never be any doubt about it. Secondly, Cornelius was also a splendid family man. Our text says that he and his whole family worshipped God. He set a godly example for his family. His whole family shared his devotion to God and his reverence for God. One can only conclude that Cornelius and his family worshipped God on a regular basis. Men are called to be the spiritual head of their homes. They're called to set the example for the family to follow. No matter how demanding his other responsibilities were, Cornelius was known as a family man. He took the time to share his faith with his family. He taught them not only by precept, but also by example. It says he and his whole family worshiped God. There's a price to be paid for setting a worthy example for one's family. The good question to ask is, what do I allow to take precedence over worship time and family time? Is there a need to make some adjustments as a father and a husband? Do I too easily set aside my family responsibilities to pursue something else which is on my agenda that subsumes my greater responsibility? Edgar Guest has written a poem that embodies the virtue of setting the kind of good example that Cornelius did. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel may be confusing, but examples always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see the creed in action is what everybody needs. How misleading it is for a father to say that the Christian faith is immensely important, and then to live as if it can be casually set aside when it gets in the way of some personal convenience. Cornelius was a splendid family man. Busy as he was, he lived his faith, he lived his creed by example. Each of us as fathers should be good family men who live out their faith as an example to their families. Thirdly, Cornelius was a man of outgoing compassion. Our text says he gave generously to those in need. His official responsibilities were law and order, but his reputation was based on his love and his compassion for those in need. As the senior Roman officer, he could easily have dismissed the plight of the poor and the needy and those around him as not his responsibility. His responsibility was law and order. But he did not allow that to end there. He went beyond the call of duty to help those in need for one simple reason. As a man of God, he felt compelled to respond to the needs of others wherever he discovered that need. Bishop Gerald Kennedy once said, "Usually God has to find his way into human life by the way of another person." And God found his way into the lives of many people through Cornelius because he sought with compassion to meet their needs. He was a man of outgoing compassion. Our Lord is always looking for godly men like that. Each Christian man should be known for outgoing compassion. Each of us should be involved in some way in showing the love of Christ to others in how we serve and in what we're involved in. Spending our time only on ourselves will never allow God to use us as he might otherwise. However busy Cornelius was, he had the time for others and served them well beyond the call of duty. That should be the calling of each of us. What an impact we can have as fathers when we set an example of care and compassion, not only for our family, but for those around us. Fourthly, Cornelius was a man of prayer. Our text says that he prayed to God regularly. He was known in the community as a man who prayed regularly, this Roman centurion. As a military officer, he knew the importance of maintaining contact with headquarters, but he also knew that as a man of God, it was important to maintain contact with his commander-in-chief. As a man of faith, he sought the Lord's counsel. Bear in mind that Cornelius was a busy man. I suspect that he had very little privacy, but in his busy schedule, he found the time to pray. It was no doubt a challenge, but it was a discipline that he mastered. If you take prayer seriously, you too will find that it takes discipline. A thousand things can rob you of prayer time, unless by discipline you make time for it. A number of years ago, I read an article in an executive magazine about taking three-minute vacations. The title intrigued me. The author, who was a busy executive, developed the habit of taking what he called three-minute vacations. He would sit back in his chair, close his eyes, and completely relax. He would take his mind off of what he was doing and think about something pleasant, a pending vacation, a pleasant past experience, a favorite pastime, something that he focused his mind on that detached him from the present but was pleasant to contemplate. It helped him greatly, and he highly recommended it. Well, I have often adopted that same practice, but for me it is often a 3-minute prayer meeting, which I believe is more highly therapeutic and gains better results. I close my eyes and talk to God, or if I'm driving, I have a conversation with the Lord. I do have a regular time of prayer each day, but in a hectic and busy life, keeping touch with God is possible. And it can be the way of helping us to keep everything together when everything around us seems to be coming unstuck. Not a 3-minute vacation, however helpful that might be, but a 3-minute prayer meeting. Part of being manly and a good father should involve us as being men of prayer. Cornelius was. Our text says that he prayed regularly. So should we. Fifthly and finally, Cornelius had a hunger for God. Cornelius sought after God. When Peter preached the gospel to him and he heard the claims of Christ on his life, he responded wholeheartedly in faith, as did his whole household. One can imagine that he grew spiritually as he learned to love and to follow and to serve Christ. What a blessing it is to grow up in a godly home. Reference was made to that just a few minutes ago in our service. And I had that privilege, the example of godly parents. They were Bible readers, they were people of prayer. My dad was an active Christian layman. He never stopped learning and studying. He was a gifted adult Bible teacher. He never ceased having a hunger for God. And so inculcated into my life was a profound respect and regard for the Scriptures and the importance of prayer. Nothing is more precious to abundant living than to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Responding wholeheartedly to the claims of Christ upon one's life. Cornelius was an eager seeker after God. When he met Christ, he responded wholeheartedly. It is that hunger that will draw you to God's Word. It is that hunger that will keep you on a spiritual growing edge. It was that hunger that compelled Cornelius to respond so heartedly, wholeheartedly, to the claims of Christ upon his life. All the fine qualities of Cornelius's manliness were enhanced and brought to fulfillment by his personal faith in the Savior. Therein lies the paradox of our faith. To be truly man is to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like is to be truly manly. Our model is not the world's. There's a lot of garbage out there. There's a lot of nonsense out there. There's a lot of misdirection out there. To be a true man is to be like Christ. In the turbulent world in which you live today, there are many lifestyles we are challenged to emulate. I challenge you to take Cornelius as your model. He was a man's man, but he was devout and God-fearing. He was a splendid family man. He and his whole family worshiped God. He was a man of outgoing compassion. He helped the poor and the needy. He was a man of prayer. He prayed to God regularly. He was a man with a hunger for God, who responded wholeheartedly to the claims of Christ upon his life. I wonder if these are qualities reflected in your life. We live in a society that is confused about what true manhood is, what it means to be a good father. You have the great advantage of a clear and reliable model. Do you and do I have the courage and the determination and the will to follow that example? Let us pray.